Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. Please go to the website foundationathearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
My name is Tammy Brookerhoff, and I'm the tourism director here in Herman, Missouri.
And you're a local girl?
I am. I've been here most of my life, except when I went off to college and ventured into St. Louis and worked there for a few years.
And your family, they grew up here too?
Yes, yes. My family, we still have our farm that our grandparents bought late 1940s, early 1950s, on both sides of the family. My dad's family farm and my mom's family farm as well.
That's really cool. So the pioneers, they were primarily German immigrants, right?
Yeah. 1836, 1837 is when they came here from the Philadelphia Settlement Society. Mm-hmm. Came to Herman because they saw the rolling hills and they thought it would be a wonderful place to grow grapes and support their families.
That's so cool. And hard to remember that this was the western frontier.
Yes, yes. So a lot of clearing took place. Mm-hmm. If you look at some early pictures of Herman, you'll see that it's laid out north, south, and east, west. Uh-huh. It's very platted. And many of those areas where houses are today is where they were planted in those early days. And that's how we started the grape and wine industry here in the Herman area.
That's interesting. And that ethnic roots is very much intact and unchanged here in Herman today.
Yeah, you see so much of our German heritage, and there's so many of the buildings that have been preserved and the history. We have generations and generations that are still running businesses, mm-hmm. and they're taking care of their buildings and in that wonderful German culture that we take care of our buildings, we take care of our properties.
Well, and the buildings, what a beautiful architecture town.
Yes, we have so much red brick in mm-hmm. this community. The beautiful courthouse up on the bluff that greets you as you come across the Missouri River, and then the church up on the hill to the right, and it gives you that amazing wow factor when you come into our town. Yeah. Something that a lot of towns don't have, and we're very fortunate that here in our downtown area and, you know, all over the town, people really take great pride in their properties.
And how old are, on average, the older houses?
Most of them are from the early 1900s, probably. Mm-hmm. Do you have some friends now that are renovating a home that is one of the oldest homes in Herman? So late 1800s.
How many people live here?
About 2,300, depending on who you ask. It's 2,300 or 2,600.
And everybody pretty much knows each other.
Pretty much. Yeah. We have a lot of young families that are moving into our community. Cool. They're entrepreneurs that see the vitality of our tourism industry. They see the beauty of our town. They see the cleanliness. We have wonderful diversity. And our schools are fantastic. So we have so many young couples that are moving in.
And diversity meaning what?
Diversity meaning we have a lot of different cultures here, so anybody can feel comfortable living here, working here, traveling here.
Very cool. Talk to us about how they're accepted and how you guys welcome them in.
You know, we're a very welcoming community. We have a hashtag, Herman Hospitality.
So it's intrinsic.
It is. And, you know, is the entrepreneurial spirit that's been here since George Hoosman came here and planted grapes. You know, Herman's just been such an entrepreneurial, agricultural base, because a lot of people don't think about vineyards as being agricultural. But I think that's the heart of our community, that we're all still very much tied to the land, and that we welcome entrepreneurship.
And this could be the Great American Railway journey destination.
Absolutely.
You've got Amtrak comes right through town and yes. stops here, right?
Yes, we have 4 stops a day. Actually, I just came from our Amtrak station. Mm-hmm. The train came from St. Louis and is heading to Kansas City. So we have 4 stops a day.
That's cool.
Two from Kansas City and 2 from St. Louis.
So do you ever just take the train and leave the car at home?
You have to. And we really have been trying to market the Amtrak a lot more these last few years. Mm-hmm. I think it's just one of those underutilized services that a lot of our locals think, oh, it's for the visitors coming to town and for them as well. So we've had so many grandparents and parents taking their kids and grandkids on wonderful excursions, just day trips or weekend trips or even just an afternoon trip. It's such a wonderful asset that we have in our state, so we're really fortunate.
That's really cool. And it follows that you would attract some European visitors.
Oh, sure.
Do you see Germans show up?
We do. It's amazing who comes off the train and what their stories are. We've had people that, you know, have been riding from one side of the country to the other. That it's just so interesting to hear their stories.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, tell us more about what you're working on, what you're most
proud of. So we have, my team is the Visit Herman team. So our website is visitherman.com, and it's That's, 2 N's.
Yeah.
So we also have our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube. We just put out a lot of videos out on our YouTube channel. We have a lot of videos of our museums. While we have wine, beer, and whiskey here, a lot of museums are here as well. And so we really worked really hard to capture just little excerpts about why we keep our museums going.
Oh, quick word picture of your museum. Yeah. Why don't you have just one? You know, they must have different themes.
Yeah, so the Deutschheim State Historic Site is up at 2nd and Market Street. It is owned by the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, and there's several homes there that you can tour. There's certainly the piano history. There was pianos built here in Herman in those homes.
Oh, cool. Do any of the pianos survive?
Barely. We also have at the Deutschheim State Historic Site is an old printing press. That printing press printed the Hermanner Wolkenblatt. It was printed in German, and the people that owned it were actually abolitionists, so they were very much against slavery. So we have a very deep history in Herman being anti-slavery, so we have lots of people that come here to learn more about that history. And then we have some of the oldest grapevines that are planted in the town. They were planted by George Hussman when he was here before he went to Napa Valley and started Napa Valley. So that's the Deutschheim State Historic Site. It's about a 2-hour tour. It's wonderful and definitely worth taking the tour there. We also have the Historic Herman Museum, which is at 4th and Schiller Street. It is a 2-story museum. You'll go back in time there. It has a clock tower and a bell tower. It was the school here in town at one time. It used to be called the German School Museum, but now that they've got so much more history in there than just German school history, it is now called the Historic Herman Museum.
And then you guys have a little trolley.
We do.
Does that take tours?
Private business. It's the Herman Trolley. You can find him, HermanTrolley2022.com. It's a private business owned by Aaron Kratz, and he'll meet people at the train, take them around to several wineries, the brewery, the distilleries, take them to the museums, take you to your lodging establishment. So take you from the train to your lodging establishment with your luggage.
Yeah, I was going to say for the people coming in on train, that would be a perfect way to get around. You don't have to rent a car.
It is absolutely wonderful. What we try to say is that Herman makes it easy for our visitors. So come into town on the train. The trolley's right there to pick you up, take you to your lodging establishment, and then take you around and show you our beautiful town.
I'm John Sanderlin with the Herman Trolley. What we do at the Herman Trolley, you really know what we do?
Yeah.
Create an experience in Herman. We have 7 full-size trolleys. They're all themed. Essentially, they seat 40 people. And what we do is a winery tour. The nice thing about our service is we service essentially 6 local wineries, 4 distilleries. We do that on demand. There's no schedule.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People have a schedule at work all week. They don't need a schedule having fun in Herman. So essentially...
Do you have to wait to have X amount ready to roll?
No. If 2 people are ready to go, we roll. But typically the days are busy and I fill these trolleys up. Of course, we drink on the trolleys. People are worried about what they're going to do with the wine all day. If people buy wine in Herman, I put the name on them where they're staying. I keep them on the trolleys.
Well, couldn't you drop it off?
Absolutely. And hopefully I get it back to them full. I'm teasing. But we do. Everybody has a lot of fun, and the business has really grown.
And you're from Herman yourself?
I am now. I grew up on a farm 40 miles from town. I live out here now, and it's a blessing. Look where I get to be.
Yeah.
Look at this. It's a blessing. It really is. People are so much fun and nice, and Herman's a beautiful town. I get to be surrounded by good people every day.
To learn more about Herman Trolley, do you have a website?
Absolutely. Just Google Herman Trolley. You'll find our website. And we do a lot of special catered party trips. We do a lot of weddings, which are fun. And by the way, you know it's going to be a fun wedding when they load coolers. Matter of fact, I'm doing a late wedding tonight.
Wow.
Going to get people home safe from the reception, and we're happy to do that. I'm John Sanderlin with the Herman Trolley.
John, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Hope you had fun today.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, it was great.
Very good.
One more thing that you're most proud of.
Oh, gosh. The Katy Trail is really a wonderful asset that we have here. It used to be the Missouri-Kansas-Texas railroad line. Mm-hmm. It's just north of the river here. It goes from Kansas City to St. Louis. So people come from all over the world to bicycle the Katy Trail from one end to the other. And what we also try to promote with that is you can bike Katy, ride Amtrak. So a lot of people don't want to do 5 days on the Katy Trail. So they might do Sedalia to Herman.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll get on the train in Herman with their bicycles, ride the train to Sedalia, and then ride their bicycles back from Sedalia to Herman. And that's about a 2-day ride, one night, overnight. Works really great.
That's really cool. To learn more about your world.
Everything we have to offer in Herman is on visitherman.com.
Too easy.
Yeah, and my name is Tammy Brookerhuff, and I'm the tourism director here in Herman.
Awesome.
Come see us.
I want to stay.
Yeah, you should. Come back and visit for a longer visit.
Yeah, next time. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Herman, Missouri. We'll see you again.
My name is Bruce Cox. I am the mayor of Herman, Missouri.
And whereabouts in Missouri are we?
Herman, Missouri is located on the Missouri River. We're about an hour and 10 minutes west of St. Louis, 3 hours east of Kansas City, right off Interstate 70, about 12 miles.
And you grew up here?
No, sir. I moved here in 1982.
What brought you here?
Well, back at that day, I used to publish a little antique newspaper, and I used to come to Herman for selling ads and hitting all the antique stores that were here. And I would come every month and got to know people. And after about 2 years, I told the wife if I ever wanted to move, I think I found a place that I would like to go. I found this great community.
What most attracted you here?
The people and just the historical. At that point, we weren't as tourist-oriented as we are now. And just the historic significance of the buildings. It was just a beautiful place to be, and so I thought that's where I'd like to go, and fortunately, we made that move.
That's one of the overarching things that has attracted me. This is my first day here, and I'm still awestruck by the historic architecture going way back.
Herman's got a lot of history. Herman was a big riverboat town back in the day, even during the Civil War. You know, the Civil War story. The courthouse overlooks the river, and the Confederates were apparently across the river. And we have one cannon in town, and what they did is they put the cannon by the courthouse and shot a volley across the river, hurry up, and moved it to the Calmar's Bluff, which is the big bluff, to the east, and shot another valley, across the river. The Confederates never attacked because they thought we were fortified.
They thought you had 3 or 4 cannons.
So, you know.
I love it.
Herman today, we are a blessed community. We rely on our great tourism industry.
A main driver today of the economy?
It is.
Uh-huh.
We have what we call a tourism tax from people that stay at the guest houses and B&Bs, our sales tax, our revenues. We are better than we have ever been. We are blessed. Even during the COVID, that was at the beginning of when we were trying to figure out our budget. We didn't know what to do. We anticipated a 20% loss.
Wow.
But as mayor, I refused to do a mask mandate. I just could not bring myself to be the guy to tell people they had to wear a mask. So we didn't have a mask mandate.
So you didn't have to.
If you felt you needed to wear one, by golly, you do that. You know, that really helped our economy at that time because people found out about that.
Well, this is a relatively safe place to go. It's really an outdoor environment, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. We got the wineries. Everybody has outdoor seating, usually the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we have, on the weekends, we have a tremendous amount of people that come to town.
I know some towns in America did their best revenue year ever in the dark days of COVID.
And we are one of them.
But they had, in the bars and restaurants, they had outdoor patio seating and whatnot.
Like I say, we're fortunate. We're close enough to St. Louis. We had a tremendous amount of people come from Illinois because Illinois had such big rules with the COVID. We just prospered from that. And it's been ongoing ever since. You know, like I say, we're very fortunate. And, we've got a lot of projects in the works.
Example of one you're most proud of coming up.
Well, we have 160 guest houses and B&Bs, which is wonderful.
That would include VRBO and...
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But I've been for 5 years now trying to get a hotel here.
Uh-huh.
And finally, I've got enough support now that we just got done with a feasibility study. We just got our draft last week, and it looks very positive that the opportunity is there. Now all we have to do is find the company to come in and bring us a real hotel.
Right. Size... Or you
well, thinking? Actually, the feasibility people are recommending two hotels, what we call an economy hotel, and then one that would be more with a restaurant and a conference center. You know, they did so much work and all these schedules, and with the money that we're generating just from the guest house, he says it would be impossible for a hotel chain to come in and not realize that you need one here. They said, we can't even believe that you don't have one at this point.
Wow. What's the population here?
We haven't had a census for a while, but I believe it's about 2,600 in that range, 25 to 2,600. When I moved to town, it was 3,500, 3,600, but with all the guest houses and B&Bs, we've lost population.
Oh, interesting.
But then on the weekend, our population goes through the roof because of all the visitors that we have.
What's your biggest frustration?
My biggest frustration?
As mayor, something you wanted to get done or tried to get done and haven't been able to.
Like I say, hotel's the one that's been in my crawl for years, and it's finally...
It's going to happen. You're real
optimistic. One way it won't happen overnight. I realize that. A couple of years. But I guess our biggest challenge right now is because of the guest house situation, more affordable housing for people.
Yeah.
And we've actually got a couple projects on the drawing boards that should come... Maybe a year and a half, 2 years, we should have townhouses and that being built. So there's a whole lot of projects that's on the drawing board. If they all come together.
To learn more about your town, do you have a website?
Well, if anybody wants to come visit Herman, they need to go to visitherman.com.
There
that has
go.
All the schedules and everything, the activities that are coming up, because there's always something going on in Herman, not every weekend, but almost every weekend, from car shows to... You know, we got the Oktoberfest, the big craft show, and then we have Christmas.
And you're about an hour from St. Louis?
Depending on which way, you can come out 70 or you can come out 44 to Highway 100, and depending on which route you go, an hour to hour and 15 minutes on a good day. And my name is Bruce Cox, Mayor of Herman, Missouri.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
My name is Susan Nichols, and we are at the Herman Farm Museum in Herman, Missouri, 526 East 1st Street.
And you work here?
I do. I've been here since 2016.
And what do you do here?
I am a tour guide, so we do tractor-driven tram tours through the farm.
Oh, cool.
And
so I drive my own tractor.
Well, we have somebody who does that.
Right.
I ride along on the tram, and I tell people about the history of Herman, the history of the farm, and we stop at several different places.
Cool. Tell us about the history of Herman Farm.
So Herman Farm, actually, the Deerbergs bought the property in the early 2000s.
They're local?
No, actually, well, they're local as far as from St. Louis, Missouri.
Which isn't too far away.
No, it isn't.
Right?
It's about 70 miles, so it's fairly close. The Deerbergs had a vision, wanted something that they could keep the history alive for the city of Herman and for the people that had lived on this location here on this farm.
So what was here when... they came?
When they came, it was the Kallmeyer family farmed here. They raised cattle. They also raised mules and draft horses during World War I and II, and they shipped them overseas and were used in the war effort. But before that, and actually what we really focus on, is the legacy of George Hussman, who is considered the father of viticulture in Missouri.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
And he was right here?
He came in the 1840s from Germany with his family.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote about seeing the steamboats down on Wharf Street and how crazy it was and all the different people that were there. But he grew up here then. He was a young man. He grew up in this area. He started a nursery where the Herman Farm is. It was called the Herman Nursery. He had over 250 varieties of fruit trees and plants and bushes and 50 varieties of grapes that he grew here.
Wow. How did he keep it all going? He must have hired help.
He did. He had a partner in his nursery business, Charles Manwaring, who was also a captain in the Union Army. But Mr. Manwaring helped him with the business, and we actually have one of the catalogs from the 1850s that shows all the different varieties of fruit trees and things that he grew here.
Wow. And so they would wrap them up in burlap and ship them out?
Yes, they would ship them. They also sold them from here. Mm-hmm. He would ship them using steamboat for the most part. And then, of course, in 1855, the railroad came through on this side of the river. So then he could start shipping things using the railroad, which was probably much more convenient.
How interesting. And people today don't know or they forget that in that time, this was the frontier of the Wild West of America.
Yes.
Hard to believe.
Huh? Yes, it was. And those Germans that came here, that first came here, they really wanted someplace that they could celebrate their German traditions.
Mm-hmm. And have opportunity.
Yes, exactly.
Because we talked earlier about in Germany, there was progenitor. Only the oldest son got anything, and the rest were out of luck.
Right. And the society, the German Settlement Society of Philadelphia that started Herman, they would sell, you know, lots or 40-acre areas that they could do their farming on. You know, of course, now general farming wasn't great here because of the hills. Right. So they did you a lot of grapes, and that's what they, you know, you've heard about that all around this area.
Yeah, that's
that there
crazy.
Were lots of wineries and lots of grape growers.
So really, in many respects, this was the birthplace of American viticulture.
Yes, it was. And George Hussman is also attributed with helping save the grape industry or the wine industry in France and Europe in the 1860s because of the phylloxera outbreak. And phylloxera being a louse that attaches itself to the rootstock of grapes. He and some other gentlemen knew that the rootstock here was immune to that louse. Mm-hmm. And so they shipped, I think it was like 10 million rootstock to France.
So they literally saved the French
viticulture
industry. Mm-hmm. That's a call. Going forward, this community of Herman has retained and cherished their German heritage in all different cultural manifestations to this day, even though there was some blowback, World War I, World War II.
Yes. It wasn't until more recent years that they actually stopped teaching German in the high school as a second language. It was very important. It's always been very important to keep that German tradition alive here.
Mm. And families would speak German sometimes in the household.
They would, yes. And my mother did. My grandmothers did, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So today you must have some great festivals and things that celebrate that heritage.
We do. We have one in May. I think it's the third weekend in May that's called the May Fest or May Festival. And then, of course, the whole month of October is Oktoberfest. So there's lots of beer drinking and wine and distilleries and, you know, things like that going on at that time.
And do you have breweries here?
I know of one. I believe there might be two breweries here. Actually, our master distiller for the distillery here is also our brewmaster at the Tin Mill Brewery. And so he's been in that business ever since out of college. So
what are some of the number one, two, and three tourist visitor draws to Herman and the surrounding area?
Well, I think that the Herman Farm is one of the top draws, you know, for every age. Little children on up to older people would love the Herman Farm. We have a lot of other museums here, as well as many shops, quaint little shops, and we have, you know, all the beer and the wine and the distilleries here as well.
And somebody base camped in St. Louis, Missouri, this could be a day trip.
Oh, easily, yes. Yeah. And we get lots of those at the farm. Lots of people, and lots of people that come out, stay at, you know, one of the bed and breakfasts we have. I want to say 300 some bed and breakfast rooms in the city of Herman. So it's a big industry here.
That's really cool. It's growing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
A healthy economy.
It is.
To learn more about your world.
HermanFarm.org. Herman with two N's. Farm.org.
So it's a nonprofit.
It is. We are operated by the Dierbergh Educational Foundation. So we are trying to keep the history of the 1850s and 1860s alive. Mm-hmm. And you can find out more information at that website, HermanFarm.org. And my name is Susan.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Missouri. We'll see you later.
My name is Parker Pukta. I'm seventh generation at Adam Pukta Winery, the vice president and CEO.
Wow. So my name is Mike Sloan, owner, Wurstmeister here at the Herman Wurst House located in downtown Herman, Missouri.
Very cool. Tell us about going back in time, your family. That's seven generations. That's quite a way.
Yeah, so we're the oldest continuously owned family farm winery in the U.S., opened in 1855 by Adam Pukta, who is my fifth great-grandpa.
And he was immigrant?
Yes, immigrated from Germany. Mm-hmm. So Herman was settled, very German town, obviously. So we have a very rich history in the winemaking scene, and everything was going really well until Prohibition, obviously. And,
how did you guys get through Prohibition?
So everything just kind of turned over to just straight farming. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know everybody was farming already because that's, you know, they lived off the land. But they continued to farm and make it a business out of it. Mm-hmm. And they decided to not reopen the winery. Probably it was a little bit hard for them. You know, they ripped all the vines out, all of their production equipment, everything got destroyed. So that was pretty hard on them. So they decided to close it. And then in 1990, my grandpa and my dad, Tim and Randy, decided to reopen the winery. Mm-hmm. It was kind of, they all grew up on the property. Grandpa had lived on the property growing up, and they decided to reopen it. And it's been a challenge for sure. But I was homeschooled for many years and got to grow up on the property and really engage with a lot of different things.
That so you grow your estate grapes on the property?
We do. So currently in production, we have our vignole, which we make with our dry vignole, and then our estate Norton. And then we had just planted 4.5 acres of Adal, and we have some Verona, and then we got two other varietals that we're planting in 2 more years. But then we work very closely with other growers and other wineries in the state.
In your marketing and sales, would it be primarily through your tasting room, or do you distribute around the state?
Yeah, so we see about 30 to 40,000 people come through to do tastings a year. Oktoberfest, obviously, we're really big for this town. But yeah, mainly everything's here. We self-distribute, so we sell to over 300 stores in the state of Missouri that we distribute ourselves. But mm-hmm. Yeah, we do some direct to consumer, and we do have some wine club, which is a pretty cool opportunity for some.
Even economically, wine clubs make so much sense.
Yeah,
I mean, and they come to you.
And with our wine club, we've really tried to do something different and really give them experience, so they get to come in and we've brought some barrel aged products that were not even bottled yet to mm-hmm. get their opinion on what they liked and what they didn't like, and we kind of did some blend stuff. So we like to try and do some different stuff, you know, than what they're used to.
Right,
so.
That's really cool.
Yep.
And you probably put on different events and whatnot.
Yeah, so we've got quite a few different events a year. Like I said, we do a German dinner in our 1855 bistro, which was built in 1854. We had tanks in there until 2004, and then we renovated it to our small bistro. We do some different MyFest events, Oktoberfest. We have food. We have a wine run, which is really cool. We set up a 5K through the vineyards mm-hmm. and stuff.
You get to sip and drink
while you run, so it's pretty cool. But yeah, we do quite a few different things. We just hired a new chef, so we're hoping to do a lot more dinners and such.
That's really cool. To learn more about your world,
yeah, just follow us on social media, Adam Pukta Winery, adampuktawinery.com as well. And follow your newsletter and all that kind of stuff.
And your name again?
Parker Pukta, yeah.
Parker. Yep. Very, very cool. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Who do we have here?
So, Mike Sloan.
It's a worst case example.
The worst place, yeah. The worst place in Herman, Missouri. The worst house, yeah. So, Mike Sloan, Herman Worst House.
I love it. Tell us about what you do and how long you've been doing it. This is a life shift for you, right?
Yeah, so I've been doing this part-time job for about 55 years. I'm hoping it turns into a full-time job. But worked for somebody else for 45 years, and after working for somebody else for 45 years, I thought maybe I could do this. So my wife and I bought this building. When we bought this building, it was vacant, mm-hmm. and it was vacant for 5 years. And prior to it being vacant for 5 years, it was an auto parts store. So we opened it up, got rid of all the spark plugs, fan belts, and gradually we now, you know, 10 years, 11 years later, we make, you know, 55 flavors of bratwurst. Our 45 flavors of bratwurst, 12 flavors of bacon, 10 flavors of summer sausage, snack sticks, jerkies, hams, things of that sort. Indoor-outdoor seating, all-you-can-eat breakfasts, and open at 5:30, 7 days a week. Except on weekends, we're open 8 to 8 on weekends.
And primary distribution is people coming in here?
Yeah, the main source of distribution is the front door. Mm-hmm. I like people coming in the front door. We have a lot of sidewalk activity. So we try to capture as much of that sidewalk activity as we can. If we don't capture that sidewalk activity, then we'll ship it to you. And there so you shipping, and then we also do some distribution to some chain stores.
Well, and again, you're a real trendsetter in distribution of your sausage and whatnot through your vending machine.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Tell us about that.
So the vending machine was something that I seen early on in 2016 in Germany, mm-hmm. at a trade show in Germany. And I looked at it, kicked the tires on it, but I couldn't quite buy it. And I had to think about it for about a year or two. Mm-hmm. And by the time the year 2019 got around, I've been thinking about it for a couple of years. And this COVID thing was starting to come up. So I thought, now's the time. So we bought it, and it arrived about 9 months later. Mm-hmm. And we put it up on the sidewalk out in front of the store. So, you know, it's no human contact, 24/7, all night long.
How much is in the machine? What varieties can people get?
So the biggest varieties, and it was kind of a learning curve, mm-hmm. to figure out what people wanted. And what they want is the same thing that sells inside, uh-huh. bratwurst, snack sticks. But one thing I did do, and I found this out, but just through trial and error, is I sell a lot of cake, chocolate cake, carrot cake out there in the vending machines. Because people at late night want a dessert. Mm-hmm. They're walking the street, they come out of the bars, or maybe their lady friends want a chocolate cake or carrot cake. So I sell a lot of cake.
Interesting.
It wasn't my intent. Mm-hmm.
Demand. Yeah. Interesting. So it's working.
Yeah, it's working. We love it. We love it a lot. I like going out there early in the mornings. Usually I film at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, early when there's nobody else out there. And I film, and then I just, you know.
Any potential of doing a second vending machine remote somewhere else?
You know, I've thought about it, yeah. But I just can't hardly keep up with what I've got already.
So, yeah, it's just a matter of hours in the day.
The sales are there, but my manpower is limited.
Right, yeah. So you do a lot of the heavy lifting still, huh?
I try not to. I got a couple guys that are pretty big. they're like linebackers.
Oh,
but
cool.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, we do, you know, a lot of, just like Parker, I mean, those wine cases aren't light, mm-hmm. you know, and cases of sausage and things aren't light.
And we're sitting in the middle of a sit-down area in your retail space. Tell us about what you have over there.
So in our retail space, we have seating indoor, outdoor for about 140 people. Uh-huh. And then as they come in, I've always wanted to sell and market. And I don't care how I do it. I want to sell by the plate, by the pound, or by the pallet.
Right.
And that's kind of what I do. I haven't sold by the plane load yet, but getting there. So yeah, if they like what's on their plate, most likely they're going to buy some to take home. You know, if they like our apple bacon or our Best of Show bratwurst or caramelized pear, they're going to buy a couple packages.
That's really cool. The only thing you're missing are fan belts.
You know what? But here's what happened. Those fan belts were on hangers.
Right.
And those hangers were on the walls.
Yeah.
And I got about 10 buckets of fan belt hangers upstairs in the attic. And I kept them. When my teardown, mm-hmm. I was doing my teardown, the only thing I kept, was those fan belt hangers. Because I thought, you know, if this sausage thing didn't work out,
there you go,
I could always go back and sell fan belts.
Oh, I love it.
It was Napa store, yeah.
All right, to learn more about your world, website?
www.hermanwarehouse.com. We ship nationwide or in store.
And your name is?
My name is Mike Sloan, owner, Wurstmeister at the Herman Wursthouse.
The best of the worst, I love it.
Best of the worst.
Mike, thanks so much. That's
thank you. Really thank you cool. for being here.
My pleasure. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Herman, Missouri. We'll see you next time.
Scott Drochnik, St. Charles County Economic Development Council.
Word picture, visualization.
We're on the western side of Metro St. Louis, so it's a suburban and rural community that's bounded by two rivers at the confluence.
So is it a happening county? Is it A lot of vitality now?
Well, I'm not very subjective on the question. Right, right. But St. Charles County has been the growth leader in Metro St. Louis since about the 1980s.
Oh, wow. How do you explain that?
Lots of land. And so as folks were growing, they were looking for homes and new roads, new schools, new homes that were cheaper than the other places, mm-hmm. drew a lot of folks out. And according to the last census, we're currently at about 5,000 a year moving in. So it's a good, healthy clip.
Is there a downtown core to the county or?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. The downtown core is along our riverfront. It's in historic St. Charles, which is actually the second largest registered historic district in the entire United States. Everybody wow. thinks of over in Charleston, South Carolina. Well, mm-hmm. you'll love that. Come out to St. Charles County because you'll love the historic riverfront.
A little infill, visual word picture of what somebody would experience.
On the historic riverfront, they actually still have the brick roadways, and a lot of the homes and the buildings date back 200 years or aroundabouts. It was such a nice, old-fashioned looking area. They actually filmed one of the Tom Sawyer movies there, pretending that it was Hannibal from, mm-hmm. you know, the mid-1800s. But you'll see stuff that's colonial, there's bed and breakfasts, and there's been a lot of IT companies moving in,
wow.
folks liking those big rooms, big windows, and, mm-hmm. and coffee shops and things that are close by.
Interesting. When was the town formed?
So St. Charles County dates all the way back to when President Jefferson bought the Louisiana Purchase. And so this was our first state capital in Missouri.
On the western frontier.
We were. Go west, young man, young woman, whatever. That's where it all started out here.
Yeah.
But now we're the middle of the country. We used to be the west coast. Now we're the middle
exactly.
of the country.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about why visitors, you know, why tourists would come to St. Charles.
Well, one of the neat areas, and that's where we're actually right now, is down here in wine country, Missouri wine country. And what folks don't know, lots of things have happened in this area over the decades, but this area in St. Charles County and in Missouri was one of the largest wine production areas prior to Prohibition.
Mind-blowing. I did not know.
We always think of California, but you know, it was Missouri.
Well, how about America's oldest AVA.
Exactly.
I had no clue. Tell us about that.
Exactly. St. Charles County was, as you said, certified as the oldest viticulture area in the U.S.
And I bet half people in Napa have no clue.
Well, they're going to find out pretty soon because we're becoming the Napa Valley of the Midwest.
And that, let's dig deeper on that because that's a true statement that you guys are really ramping up to the next level, not only wine production, grape growing, but marketing.
Well, this has always been just a lovely area that's out this way because you've got the Boone home and you've got the Katy Trail, which is
that's
a
Daniel Boone.
Daniel
birthplace?
Boone, exactly. Not birthplace, but death place where he died, where he spent the latter year of his
road.
Life. Yeah, the Judgment Tree and all of that stuff.
Wow.
But Katy Trail, which is how we've taken our Missouri KT Trail from St. Louis to Kansas City, more or less.
And backstory on why it's Katy. Because that was your railroad, right?
Right, from Missouri to Kansas and Tennessee, and so MKT, and that's how they ended up calling it as the state park.
The nickname was Katy.
Right, and it stuck.
And so that's a classic rails to trails, right?
It is, one of many across the U.S., mm-hmm. and anytime you go out, you see lots of folks walking their dogs, taking a jog, riding their mountain bikes, anything that's non-motorized.
Mm-hmm.
So very pastoral, lots mm-hmm. of vineyards, lots of agriculture and farms and forests, and so you come out, and like right now, we're looking at some rolling hills. We see a forest several hills away, and the skyline is just beautiful. So it's a very wonderful area to sit, relax, and mm-hmm. get refreshed. Going back to the wine production of stuff, you know, stuff after Prohibition took a while to take off. It wasn't until about the 80s or 90s, a mm-hmm. few little wineries, almost like microbrewery industry, started growing. And then it's just been sort of a wonderful gem for a long time. And then the Hoffman family, we appreciate all they've done. He grew up in the area, not too far away. They were here, as the story is told, for Christmas, I guess about 2 years ago, and said, honey, I like this area. We should start buying it. And so they did. $125 million later, all the wineries, all the vineyards, all the buildings, you know.
Yeah, I heard it was like $150 million.
Well, I won't be shocked if they end up with $200 million. But so they're taking it to a new level. We've had the wineries, we've had the B&Bs, we've had the little shops and all of the knickknack places, but now he's really increasing that and making it a gem.
And a little backstory on the Hoffmans. I mean, grew up with nothing.
Exactly. And now he's a billionaire on the Forbes list and has done this kind of thing in Florida and Colorado and mm-hmm. other places. And so we appreciate the favored son coming back and blessing the area with huge investment.
That's just incredible. I'm still trying to absorb it all.
Well, I think as folks come down and see what's been happening, you were staying, I believe, at one of the new cabins that they've set up.
Yeah, it's like an old house renovated. And yeah, so you have this feeling like you're literally staying in a home.
And they've bought up a lot of the old town in historic Augusta, and they've been buying that, turning it into a general store and a gas station and restaurants. Now we've got the river cruises that are going to be happening up and down the Missouri River to historic St. Charles down here.
And the untold behind-the-scenes story, I was thinking, you know, what an amazing economic development for employment. Opportunities.
Massive material impact. Yeah. And a multiplier effect as well.
Without knowing him, I know it's obvious that he's smart enough to know that you want to hire the best and brightest around you.
Yeah, as they were coming in buying a lot of the companies, we appreciated the fact he didn't just come in, buy it, and then fire everybody. Mm-hmm. He said, we want you to stay. We're going to give you better benefits. We'll raise the pay. You're the subject matter expert. We want you to run it, and we just want to give you the tools to take it up to the next level.
Goes without saying that there is no way a guy like that could create an empire unless he was a master at offering opportunities for others to take the ball and run with it.
Yeah. Well, it's going to become a nationally known destination area for tourists. And
you're
so
confident of that.
Oh, very confident. Yeah, and he is too. That's why he's putting over $100 million into it.
Yeah. So we're ground floor here, huh? Yeah.
We are. And I remember coming down here some 20, 30 years ago when it was just a smaller area, maybe a bus or two, but now folks are holding their weddings down here, their graduations, their conferences. You know, it's a booming area.
And for local and regional travel, it makes sense because I mean, I talked to one of the heads of state economic board, and he's right an hour away.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So if folks have a meeting on the East Coast from the West Coast, stop here. It's not flyover country anymore, but lots of good things to enjoy.
Yeah, it really is. Tell us a little bit more about your world.
So in St. Charles County, we're working very hard to not only deal with the workforce issues that you've talked about, but we continue to see an explosion in housing and tech companies. Logistics are really crazy. And we appreciate the fact that we're one of the engines in Metro St. Louis, just as we're getting a new soccer stadium here in town and a new soccer team, and good things are happening all across Metro St. Louis.
And how far to get from the little St. Charles waterfront district to downtown Metro World?
Depending on traffic, it's about a 20-25 minute drive.
Wow,
so it's not too far at all.
That's crazy.
10 minutes to the airport. So
isn't that amazing, because it's such a distinctly different, unique neighborhood or town.
Well, we like to talk about travel in terms of minutes rather than miles, because I lived in Chicago for a while, and if we said, oh, it's 10 miles away, oh my gosh, you know, pack a dinner or whatever. But here we think about it in minutes, because you're there quickly.
Yeah. Well, in L.A., 10 minutes could
10 miles, right.
Yeah, it could be an hour.
See you Wednesday.
Okay. To learn more about your world,
they could come to the EDC's webpage, which is edcscc.com, and we've got a lot of information about quality of life, growth in companies, and opportunities in tourism and shopping and the whole bit.
I love it. I can hardly wait to get down to your waterfront. That sounds fascinating, especially the architectural history.
Yeah, you're going to love that. And lots of festivals happening there on a regular basis.
Well, I'll hunt you down.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. To learn more about your world, again, go to website.
Right. For the Economic Development Council, go to edcscc for stcharlescounty.com. I'm Scott Drochnik from the EDC St. Charles County, and I appreciate having the conversation.
My pleasure. And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Missouri. We'll see you here.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer on KCBX Radio. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.